Last night, the Guatemalan government and leftist rebels signed a peace accord, formally ending 36 years of civil war. More than 100,000 people died in that conflict, most of them from the country's Mayan Indian majority. The peace agreement calls for greater rights for indigenous peoples. The Maya are getting more involved in government. Several sit in the National Congress and on local councils around the country. Most important to Mayan activists, Guatemala's second largest city has elected its first Mayan mayor. Maria Martin has this report.
The city of Quetzaltenango was once the capital of the Quiché Kingdom. But for the first time in the city's modern history, the Mayan presence is making its mark on City Hall. 2 days before the signing of the peace accords, the offices of Mayor Rigoberto Quemé are abuzz with activity. Members of the mayor's mostly Mayan city council and some aides sit at a long wooden table working on a computer. They're translating a text on leadership skills into the Mayan Quiché language. And among the many visitors waiting to see the busy mayor is a young Mayan woman representing the nearby town of Chichicastenango. Marines Chok says she's proud and happy to be in a city with a Mayan mayor. It's something unusual, she says, adding that she hopes Quemé can help the Mayan people because he knows what it's like to be a Maya, she says, to suffer discrimination and lack of opportunity. After Rigoberto Quemé was elected mayor 1 year ago, racist slogans appeared on some walls in Quetzaltenango, but he was undaunted. He convinced some European countries to fund his efforts to fix streets and roads and to bring electricity and potable water to outlying neighborhoods. Now Quemé appears to have won the confidence of many non-Mayans in Quetzaltenango, like cab driver José Barrios.
The mayor's doing an excellent job. He's doing what he can, considering that the situation has deteriorated so much. It's difficult to do things as if by magic. One needs to have tolerance and patience.
Tolerance, patience, and sheer doggedness are characteristic of the Maya's recent struggle to gain political power. The 50-year-old mayor, who was born to an illiterate mother in a family of weavers, is part of an indigenous political organization called Xelhu. Xelhu was founded 25 years ago. In the 70s and 80s, indigenous organizations like Xelhu were often considered subversive. And after the assassination of one of its mayoral candidates, Xelhu went underground for 13 years. Mayor Quemé says the greatest virtue of the peace accords is that they'll put an end to the war, which was so devastating for the Mayas.
But as to their substance, they don't really resolve the real problems which gave rise to the war in the first place. They don't, for instance, deal with the subject of land rights, and they don't establish the mechanisms for dealing with the exclusion and marginalization that our people suffer.
Over 80% of Guatemala's Indians live in poverty, and only about a quarter of Mayas complete elementary school. Nearly 70% are illiterate. Under the peace accords, the government pledges to repeal all laws which discriminate against indigenous peoples. In addition, it says it will make sure that laws which guarantee equal rights are extended to the Mayas as well. But Mayor Quemé says it will take more than a government promise to make this a reality.
Guatemala has always had a very formalized legal system. We have many laws. What has been missing, however, is the will to carry them out and the popular power to coerce the government to comply.
Last Friday, hundreds of Quetzaltenango's residents participated in the city's own peace celebration. As a group of Mayas from the village of Santiago Atitlan played traditional instruments and sang, at the foot of the stage, little Ladino children, non-Mayas, clapped and danced along. Quetzaltenango City Council member Ricardo Cajías says what's happening in his city is a preview of what the peace accords hope to bring to Guatemala.
Here there is no place for radical positions. For example, that Mayas are superior or that Latinos are better. When we speak about one country, we need to speak of one which represents cultural differences.
Rigoberto Quemé and his Xelhu movement are not aligned with traditional political parties in Guatemala, which have historically manipulated Mayan candidates and Mayan voters. This has led some to predict that after 500 years of repression, Guatemala's Mayan majority may, in the not-too-distant future, again wield substantial political power in what were once the Mayan kingdoms. For National Public Radio, I'm Maria Martin in Guatemala City.